Alright, y'all. Welcome back. Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. It's your host, Hussein. Here I am. I'm back, baby. We are back in a big way. And unfortunately, it's just going to be me today. Jordan is a little under the weather. I myself am a bit under the weather, but the show must go on, you know? I appreciate y'all staying tuned. And let's talk about it, man. We got a lot to talk about. So, first off, first things first is UFC Atlantic City, Blanchfield versus Fiorot. I was in attendance there. It was a pretty good fight night, all things considered. Some pretty cool finishes on that card. You had the fight with Ibo Aslan versus Anton Turkalej. I thought for sure, you know, Ibo was going to win. It was just a matter of when, and he got it done. You had Vicente Luque fighting Joaquin Buckley, Chris Eidman with the double eye pokes. Let's get into it. Let's talk about it. So we'll start off with the main event, of course, Manon Fiorot versus Aaron Blanchfield, in what was a very heartbreaking performance, if you're a Blanchfield fan like I am. She you know, the gulf in the striking was something that we talked about on the preview pod, that, you know, both girls are really good everywhere. But Blanchfield is a lot worse in the striking than Fiorot, and it showed a lot on Saturday night. Fiorot was able to defend pretty much every takedown or grappling attempt from Blanchfield, besides a guillotine attempt in the first round. She was even able to take down Blanchfield of her own when she wanted to, and, you know, used her movement, her circling, and her jab and her check hook to punish Blanchfield every time she entered recklessly, which is a lot of Blanchfield's entries. So it ended up just kind of being Blanchfield moving forward for five rounds and Fiorot circling off, check hooking her or jabbing her, and just punishing her for her, you know, recklessness, for lack of a better term. So for Blanchfield, I think you definitely need to go back to the drawing board here. You know, get some, maybe a change of coaching or just a new striking coach or something. I also think she could benefit from having a wrestling coach. It seems like she's excellent on the ground. She's really good on the ground. But getting the fight to the ground is not the easiest for her. She showed in this fight that her main takedown and pretty much her only takedown is a body lock. And that's great. It's a great takedown. But in order to, you know, have a very dominant grappling game, you need to have more than one way to get it there. Fiorot was smart to the body lock after the second or third attempt and was able to just kind of shuck Blanchfield off every time she tried to go for it. It was frustrating, you know, I'm not going to lie. Being a Jersey boy and rooting for Blanchfield, it was hard to watch her just make the same mistakes over and over, wading into punches, and when she did get into a clinch, go for a body lock instead of shooting for the legs. And, you know, all the credit in the world to Manon Fiorot. She did what she was supposed to do. You know, we said in the pre-fight, it felt like Misha versus Holly. And if Misha's not able, Misha being Aaron Blanchfield and Holly being Manon Fiorot, if Aaron is not able to find a comeback or find, you know, dominant grappling positions at points in the fight, it's going to be a very tough fight for her. And that is what ended up happening. 50-45 for Manon Fiorot. You got to figure she's going to get the winner of Grasso Shevchenko after September. I'm sure she doesn't want to wait that long. But, you know, if she wants a title shot, she's going to have to wait for it, unfortunately. For Blanchfield, I think the next step should be either Macy Barber or Rose Namajunas. I think either one of those fights are good fights for her. They keep her in the mix and, you know, give a chance for one of those women who are coming up in the division to take her spot. Blanchfield's young, she's 24, so I have all the faith in the world that she'll still be a champion one day. It's just going to be a matter of time, time and improvement and patience. So I hope she can find those things and, keep improving and get her way to the belt. We'll see what happens. All right, so going down the card, you got Joaquin Buckley versus Vicente Luque. Vicente Luque is completely shop-worn at this point. Convinced, I had money on Buckley by KO and it ended up coming to fruition by pretty much what looked like Vicente being exhausted, or maybe not exhausted, but more so being afraid to take a punch, which is understandable because he had that brain bleed not too long ago. So I think for Vicente, it's either time to hang them up or maybe, you know, go into some kind of grappling route or coaching route, you know what I mean? I don't think he has much more to give or to prove at fighting at the highest level like he is. For Buckley, again, good win. Did what he was supposed to do. Now he's ranked at welterweight, which is pretty interesting. So we'll see where they go from here with his matchmaking. But he seems to have really had a resurgence in his career since going down in weight. Then you had Chris Weidman getting a win for the first time in years. It was a very, very dirty win, but it was a win on the record books, you know. So Weidman was able to catch a lot of eye pokes in this fight. Was able to hit Bruno Silva with a ton of eye pokes. He got him twice during the fight. And then the sequence at the end of the fight was actually a double eye poke. He hit him like this. Boom, boom. No fist, no punch, no kick. Just two eye pokes in a row. So really incredible stuff that the ref did stop it there. But, you know, they ruled it a TKO initially. They ruled it a TKO initially, and then they went to their rule of if a foul ends a fight and it's past the halfway point of the fight, you score the fight up to that point, and it goes to a technical decision, which Weidman did win. You know, he was winning the fight. It's not like he was losing the fight, but I'm sure a big part of why he was winning the fight was those eye pokes. But either way, it seemed like Bruno Silva didn't have a lot for him. Bruno Silva kind of limited on the grappling front. It was kind of succumbing to the pressure of Weidman. Sorry, excuse me. Silva lost to Weidman. It is what it is. Weidman getting back in the win column, and it kind of scares me because I feel like he's going to be like, oh, I have it again. Don't worry. You know, I'm coming for that belt. Like, so I'm kind of scared of the next matchup that they give him. I did not like his response after the fight, saying that, you know, he shouldn't have went down from the eye pokes. It's a bad look for the judges. The guy got poked really bad twice, you know, or like four times in the fight, but twice at the end of the fight. So, you know, kind of a classless affair from Weidman there. I understand, you know, he's happy he got the win, but, you know, it didn't sit well with me. Then you had Nursultan Ruzabayev getting another controversial finish here over Cedric Dumas when he landed an eye poke and then an uppercut. And Dumas was hurt from the eye poke, or, you know, couldn't see. The ref didn't do a damn thing about it. And then Ruzabayev was able to finish him with some punches there in that first round. So another weird one. You know, I had Ruzabayev by KO, so I was happy to see it happen. But it didn't, you know, it didn't sit well with me either. That being said, I'm not a big Cedric Dumas fan. He has a lot of assaults and battery charges and stuff like that, so fuck him. Yeah. And then you had Kyle Nelson versus Bill Algeo. Kyle Nelson is, I don't know what kind of cycle he got on or what's going on with him, because he looks like a whole different fighter these days than he did earlier in his career. Kyle Nelson was able to get the knockout over Bill Algeo, or a TKO rather. He had him hurt in that first round and, you know, wobbling and things, and the ref stopped it while he was standing. I did feel like it could have went on a little bit longer. Bill Algeo's one of those guys that's known for his recovery, known for his endurance, his toughness, his chin. So, you know, to stop the fight when he gets rocked is a little bit short-sighted, in my opinion, from the ref. You know, if you've never seen him fight before, I could see why you'd stop that fight. Maybe not. Maybe I probably would have let it go a couple punches longer. Either way, but, you know, knowing who Bill Algeo is, it just kind of feels like if they had stopped the Frankie Edgar versus Gray Maynard fight in that first round. So I think Bill Algeo had a lot of potential in this fight for a comeback, but unfortunately was not given that opportunity by the ref. But, you know, if you don't want the fight to get stopped, don't get rocked, right? It is what it is. Plani had a pretty decent performance against Reese McKee. He was able to circle, use his jab, use his leg kicks. When the fight got to the clinch, he landed some good elbows. Reese McKee, I don't know what the hell his game plan was. It seemed like he just wanted to push Chidi to the fence and do nothing with it. It was really embarrassing. And even more embarrassing than that is that one of the judges gave him the fight. Very strange. It is what it is. But, yeah, Chidi and Jaquani ended up winning, you know, how he was supposed to, getting that decision, so good job there. Nate Landwehr put out Jamal Emmer's lights at the end of the first round. Classic Nate Landwehr performance where he gets beat up in the early going and then comes back. This one was kind of like a speed run Nate Landwehr performance, though, because it all went down in one round. He was able to, withstand that early pressure from Jamal Emmers, and when he found his punch, he dropped him and finished him with some pretty brutal ground and pound. And then in the post-fight interview, gave one of the best lines I've ever heard in a post-fight interview, saying, whoop my ass and see what happens. I love it. Nate Landwehr is a legend, and for him to get that victory, see him live, it was pretty sweet. So I'm happy for the guy, and excited to see where he goes from here. Jamal Emmers, had a pretty good run there for a little bit. I don't think he's one of those guys who's ever going to sniff the title, but, you know, he seems to be a pretty fun fighter and a pretty good litmus test for a lot of guys. So, you know, I don't expect him going anywhere. I think he'll stick around for a little bit, maybe fight somebody like a Julian or Rosa or something like that. I think that'd be a good fight. Verna Jandaroba got it done against Lupi Godinez. A lot of people where I was standing in the crowd were surprised that Godinez lost. I thought Jandaroba did enough to win. She had that good takedown at the end of the fight. She was able to win a lot of the grappling positions on the feet. Godinez landed some good punches, but I really didn't give her much more past the one round. So I thought it was good that Jandaroba, I thought it made sense that she got the decision, and she was able to get it done there. That was good. Julio Arce finished Herbert Burns in, a very, very predictable fight. Herbert Burns gets so tired so quickly. Arce was able to find that finish as soon as he got tired. Nothing really much to say there. Herbert Burns is washed, or at least, has horrible cardio. I don't think he's ever going to get better at this point. And then this one was tough, man. Dennis Bazookia was able to finish Connor Matthews, friend of the pod, Connor Matthews. Connor was putting up a good fight. It was, I think I had it 1-1 going into the third. It was pretty close. I don't think Connor was able to get his wrestling off as much as he should have been. You know, in his Contender Series fight, we lauded him for mixing up everything together. I don't know if he was coming into this fight, he had some injuries to deal with or something, that he wasn't able to get the grappling going, but I felt like that was a clear path to victory that he wasn't, expanding upon. That being said, he fought his heart out, and I'm proud of you, Connor. You know, you did a good job, but I know you're going to get it back in the next fight. I would just like to see you move, use your full game, maybe it was the crowd, maybe it was the lights, maybe it was, being on the big stage for the first time, maybe he had some jitters, but I'm confident that he'll come back stronger in the next one. For Dennis Bazookia, a much-needed win here. Showed off that good Muay Thai that he has. Was definitely threatening Connor a lot with the knees and the uppercuts, which might have dissuaded him from going for the takedowns, but good performance from Dennis, nonetheless. Connor's going to get back in there, I'm sure. Next is Ibo Aslan versus Anton Turkoglu. We talked about it a little bit earlier. That was the fight of the night. A pretty good fight. This fight had bad blood in it. They fought before in the regional scene, and they were like in each other's faces, yelling and shit. And Aslan was able to, hurt Anton a lot in that first round, and then get finished in the second with a submission in their first fight. Second fight, it was more one-way traffic from Aslan, but this time he did get tired, but he didn't get as tired as he did in the first round, or in the first matchup. So he was able to find that knockout in the third round. Anton Turkoglu, if he's still in the UFC, I'll be very surprised. I think this gets him cut. Dude's like 0-4, I think. Yeah, Ibo Aslan does not seem like very great competition, but he was able to beat the shit out of Turkoglu, so that tells you where he's at. I don't think Aslan's going to go very far in this division, at least not as it stands, so we'll see what happens, but it just didn't really feel like a UFC-level fight to me, The next one was very interesting, Jacob Malkoon versus Andrei Petrosky. The fight was pretty solid for the most part. Malkoon tried to get the single leg, was able to, but Petrosky got right back up. And then in the second round, Petrosky went for a takedown, slammed his head into the hip of Malkoon, and rocked himself really bad. Like, you could see him, like, trying to reach for legs that weren't there. And, you know, watching it live, everybody was like, what the fuck happened? Like, I don't understand. Because it looked like, you know, maybe he got injured, but the way he was moving and, like, going for the takedown, it looked like he was rocked. It looked like clearly his equilibrium or, you know, his senses weren't there. And then they said they showed the replay, and you could see Petrosky's head slam against Malkoon's hip. It's something that's happened to me before in wrestling practice. It sucks when it happens. And then Malkoon, of course, you know, jumped on it on the opportunity, as he should, kicked him in the body on the ground, which I always love to see, and then followed up with some punches that stopped the fight. I thought Malkoon was going to get it done. I obviously did not predict it to happen this way, but I'm happy to see him get the win. I like Malkoon a lot. I like Petrosky too, but I'm a big fan of Malkoon. He seems like a good guy, so happy to see him get that win. And then Colin Loughran just beat up Angel Pacheco for 3 rounds. It was, you know, pretty solid performance there. Pacheco had a couple moments, but nothing crazy. So that's UFC Atlantic City in a nutshell. It was a pretty decent card, all things considered. I was there live, so it was pretty fun for me. But, you know, some cool finishes, some controversy. It was great to have a crowd, though, I'll tell you that. That brings us to next week's card, which is UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Curtis 2, and we are back at the Apex, baby. Let's go. Everybody's favorite basement. So let's go down the card. We'll start from the top. Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis. These guys fought before. Chris Curtis's second fight in the UFC, if I'm not mistaken. First or second fight in the UFC. Yeah, second fight. It was a pretty, you know, solid Chris Curtis fight. You know, he was able to defend the takedowns from Allen. Pressure. Allen kind of got a little reckless on the feet, or maybe a little too confident, and Curtis was able to find that knockout punch. You know, I think that version of Brendan Allen was a little too confident. I think that fight, you know, that knockout loss in particular, really changed his style and changed his approach to the fight game. I see him now as a much more conservative fighter, or maybe not much more conservative, but, you know, he knows that he knows when to put the foot on the gas pedal and when to take it off. And I think if he does that in this fight, if he fights a smart fight, he should absolutely beat Chris Curtis. He should be able to wrestle him. He should be able to, you know, outstrike him on the feet, circle, throw leg kicks, throw body kicks, keep him guessing, keep him moving. That being said, I really like Chris Curtis's chances here at 5 rounds of the Apex. Curtis seems like one of those guys that does better in the gym or does better in the Apex. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's undefeated in the Apex as it stands. Let me just double check that before I start spreading misinformation. Yeah, undefeated in the Apex. So, I mean, you know, maybe he'll keep that streak going. I think there's a great chance that he finds a knockout shot at some point in this matchup. He did it already against Allen, so I mean, it's not crazy to think that he can't do it again. But, you know, this is a few years later, and it seems like Curtis has not improved a lot since that fight, whereas Allen has improved leaps and bounds. So I won't be surprised if Allen is able to get the finish here, or, you know, at least get the victory. Probably a finish, though. But, you know, Curtis still always has that dog in him, so it's a tough fight to call, you know. I think I'm not really sure who to pick here, but I love Chris Curtis, so I'm just going to take Curtis in the underdog spot. But we'll go through the betting slip later. Next, you have Alexander Hernandez versus David Jackson. Hernandez has looked really good lately. He lost his last fight to Aljo, but he looked good. He showed a lot of improvement. He showed a lot of fight IQ improvement. His cardio was better than it's been before at featherweight. Unfortunately, he's fighting Bill Aljo, who's a monster and, you know, super tough and durable. But, you know, he's not going to have that same problem so much with David Jackson. David Jackson obviously is pretty tough, pretty durable, but he's been stopped before, and, you know, his grappling is really his biggest threat. He has pretty decent power on the feet, but his grappling is really his biggest threat, and Alexander Hernandez is a pretty strong wrestler. So I expect Hernandez to have his way with David Jackson. Hopefully he can get a finish. I think he definitely needs a win. It's been a while, if I can. He beat Jim Miller not long ago, but, you know, that was a close fight. I like Hernandez in this fight. I think it makes sense. I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sick. It's like, I sound like shit, but, you know, I gotta put this episode out for the people. Then you got Morgan Charrier versus Jose Mariscal. This is a pretty good fight here, man. It's a really exciting matchup, actually. I'm a big fan of Morgan Schaerer after seeing him fight UFC Paris. He looked amazing. Jose Mariscal seems like a very, very tough customer. Solid boxing, very much like a backyard brawler style, if you know what I mean. Like, he's very tough, and he has a boxing stand-up style, pardon me. So I'm going to take Morgan here. I just think he has more tools. I do feel like he might gas out at some point, and Mariscal will be able to take advantage of that in the later rounds. But if it doesn't get to those later rounds, I like Schaerer to get that finish, or at least win the first and second round. At least win the first and second round, I think. So I like Schaerer here. I think he's going to do great things in this division. I'm excited to see how he develops. Then you got Ignacio Bahamondes versus Christos Giagos. This is another really exciting matchup that I'm not really sure which way it's going to go. It's hard for me to count out either one of these guys because they both have shown tremendous heart in their UFC careers. So I think I'm going to stay away from the pick, and I'm just going to go that this is going to be the fight of the night. Then you got Walter Walker versus Lucas Brezhki. Who cares? Sloppy heavyweights. You got Trevor Peak versus Charlie Campbell. This is going to be super fun. Both these guys throw like idiots. I'm really excited to see how it shakes out. We're going to see a couple standing hammer fists, hopefully. We're going to see some wild hooks, and it should be a pretty fun fight. You got Court McGee versus Alex Morono, and a battle of slow welterweights that are really tough. So I'm probably going to take Morono in this fight, maybe by finish. I don't know. We'll see. Norman Dumont versus Jermaine Duranemi is an awesome matchup. It's hard for me to pick Jermaine Duranemi over... it's hard for me to pick any striker over Jermaine Duranemi. Norma Dumont seems to have a pretty well-rounded game, but her striking and her Muay Thai is her bread and butter. And that's where Duranemi makes great fighters look stupid. So, tough fight to call. I think I'm just going to go with the dog. I'm not sure what the odds are, but whoever's the dog, I think, has a good chance of getting it done in this fight. Because I'd put it at a pick'em. So, if either one of them are at plus 150 or more, I'll take them. Leaning towards Duranemi, though. Altair Haley versus Victor Hugo is an interesting fight. Pierre Rodriguez versus Cynthia Calvillo. Calvillo is washed. She's coming back to the UFC in this fight, but I really feel like she lost a lot of motivation. She lost a lot of steps in her last two performances. So I'm not sure who Pierre Rodriguez is, but I have to fade Cynthia Calvillo, unfortunately. Dan Argent is fighting. He's always fun to watch. Dylan Budka is making his UFC debut versus Cesar Almeida, who is a glory kickboxer. That should be a pretty fun fight. Joshua Van is fighting Lucas Rocha. So pretty solid night of fights overall. I don't know who Nora Cornhole and Melissa Mullins are. I'm not familiar with either of those fighters, but that's the first fight on the card, so we'll see how it happens. Pretty solid card overall. I mean, not a lot of name value, but there's a lot of potential for very fun fights. The Morgan Schaerer fight, Ignacio Bahamondes fight, the Trevor Peak fight, the Alex Morono fight, the Norman Dumont fight. These fights look pretty exciting on paper. Alexander Hernandez, too, and the co-main and the main event both have an interesting clash of styles there. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Let's go through the betting slip real quick. Not a ton to go down on this card, but, the people got to make that money. So let's see what we got. So I'm going to start off the betting slip. I'm gonna go with Chris Curtis in the underdog spot. I think he can get it done. I'm going to go with Alexander Hernandez, Morgan Schaerer. I think that's it. I'll do Hernandez, Curtis, Schaerer, and Pierre Rodriguez just to fade Cynthia Calvillo. So only four picks this week. We'll see how it shakes out, though. I think out of those picks, the most confident I am is Hernandez and Schaerer and Rodriguez. Not super confident in Curtis, but the underdog spot has me enticed. I do feel like Brendan Allen has more tools, but maybe I'll stay away from there. Well, yeah, I'll stay away from the main event. We'll just do the three fights. Hernandez, Schaerer, Rodriguez. That's what we got cooking this weekend. Not a great night to bet. But that being said, next week we have UFC 300. Very excited for that. We're going to get Bloodsport MMA back on the pod and break down that card for you guys next week. I'm very much looking forward to it. Obviously, very stacked card. Thank you very much for listening and putting up with my sick ass. I'm sorry, guys. I know it's probably not the most enjoyable listen when my voice is so nasally and fucked up. But I appreciate y'all sticking with me. And we'll get them next time, guys. Pretty good night for us last week, so hopefully we can keep the ball rolling. Take it easy, y'all. Peace out.